to sing Amazing Grace. So we're going to sing it a cappella or with the guitar? With the guitar. The theme of the message today is Amazing Grace. So I thought we could sing it and just meditate on those words, and then we'll start. It's hymn number 48. You probably know the whole verse. Give us the key. Yeah. Yes. Lord, we do want to start this morning just by praising our Lord. Praise God. Lord, as we look into your amazing grace today, Lord, we just want to see the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the wonder of amazing grace. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would touch us with this wonder of grace today. Lord, bless the word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. In your name I pray. Amen. Woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, turned the computer on and said, I wonder what the worship's going to be about. I said, Lord, it would surely be good if it was something to do with grace, you know. And I was so thrilled. You know, the story of the prodigal son is just full of grace, isn't it? Amazing grace. And I was just so thankful. Today, the topic is going to be amazing grace. And I'll tell you a little bit something about myself, which you probably don't want to know, but I'll tell you anyway. I like flowers. When I got married, Mr. Wilson, Sarah's father, used to always go out and get some flowers or, you know, some beautiful thing, plant in the yard and bring it in. It was always on the table. Now, we never did that when I was growing up. Four, five boys, I mean, you know, what's a flower, you know? But my mom loved flowers, but we never put flowers on the table. But I like to go out. I like to raise some flowers, whatever, a weed that looks beautiful. I go out and pick it, and I'll bring it in, and we'll put it on the table. I don't know if you do that or not. Ben, do you do that for your table? Oh, you do? Well, good. And I just like to look at the beauty of the flower. I don't want to know how it grew. I don't want to know the biology of it or whatever, how it pollinates. You know, I just want to see the beauty of it. So today, my heart is that in some way we would see the beauty of amazing grace. And that's different than the theology of it or the doctrine of it, because grace is such a big theme in Scripture. Doctrinally speaking and theologically speaking, it's just foundational to your understanding of the Scriptures. But today there's just some passages I want us to look in, consider in Ephesians that really show the beauty of grace, the amazingness of grace. And it's almost like we could really sing Amazing Grace and just consider the worship time this morning and just stop. Because so much of what I was going to share has already been shared in the prayers of the saints. So praise the Lord. And all this that's on me is just easy things, but wonderful things about amazing grace. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Grace is mentioned about 155 times in the New Testament. It's a major theme in the New Testament. And even in our hymns, amazing grace or grace is of paramount importance all the way through the hymns. And how I really appreciated it at the worship at the conference, how the brothers stood up and shared a little bit about the hymns, how rich, how amazing the hymns are, and how full they are of amazing grace. And this morning before the worship time, I just went through and read about five or six hymns on a grace. And the theology of it is just absolutely amazing. It's almost like we could open our hymn books and just read it and then pray and end and sing a few songs. So it's amazing. Who knows what the, of these four brothers up here, what's the Greek word for grace? Sorry. It's charis. Yeah, charis, yes. What's the meaning of grace? Actually, the Greek word simply means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. A generous benefit given. A favor bestowed to someone who never earned it. A raised Baptist, that's what we were taught. Truly, the definition of grace is really found in Christ Jesus. He is grace. But the Greek word means unmerited favor. God's grace to us is unmerited. How that was the Son this morning, unmerited favor shown upon him. So let's turn to read in Ephesians. And I've been meditating in Ephesians for, you know, half a year now, and I like to just read and just see what pops out at me as I'm reading. And I want you to notice as we read the phrases that have to do with grace. Ephesians is so full of doctrine and theology, it's hard to just focus on that. But just focus on the way grace is described, okay? Things around grace. So we're going to read Ephesians 1:1-8, and then over to 2:4-7, and 3:8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Here's the first grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Here's the second phrase. To the praise of the glory of his grace, that grace which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. The next phrase is according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Don't you just love that phrase, which he lavished on us? Chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here's the next phrase that I want to share on this morning. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow. 3:8 says, the little phrase says, the unfathomable riches of Christ. And at the end of Ephesians, the last verse, grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus. Grace be with you. So verse 2, the first mention of grace. Grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put that with the end of the book where he says, grace be with you. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus. But grace with you. So the first is grace to you and then grace with you. Grace is a fundamental part of the epistles. And Paul loved grace. And he opened and closed each one of his books with either grace to you or grace with you. And he ended with grace with you. And the originator of that grace to you and grace with you is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over and over to the church after church after church, grace to you and grace with you. No matter what circumstance the church was in, the salutation, the greeting was, grace is conferred to you. In a continuous way, God's grace is always coming towards you. And then he would end the book with grace with you, that God's grace is always abiding with you. Now I find that, that was such a blessing to me. It seems that God, the originator of grace to us, will cause that grace to continually be with us in all situations of life, in all situations of church life. His grace will always be with us. And you get the sense, later you'll get the sense, but I actually want to tell you now, it's God's great delight and desire that the grace of God the Father and God the Son would always be towards you and would always remain with you, never leaving you. We are never meant to be without the grace of God. It's continual, never-ending grace. This morning, out of pure nervousness, I went and walked down by the river to release some energy. And I was walking through the sun. I was through where I walk, it's a lot of shade, but then a shaft of light will come through the trees. And I walked through a shaft of light and just stood there. And to me, this is a great picture of this. Grace was coming down, streaming down, while I was standing in the rays. And to me, what a wonderful picture of grace constantly streaming down from God the Father and God the Son, streaming down to you, and you are just walking in that grace. We are not meant, dearly beloved ones, we are not meant to take one step in this life apart from grace. Isn't that wonderful? We are not meant to walk one step without this amazing grace of God shining down upon us. Now, what I did, I write down in my handwriting, which is so terrible, but I just went down and wrote the beginnings of the book, you know, what it said about this matter. So I have all here, you know, all of Paul's epistles, grace to you, and at the end, grace with you. And some interesting things popped out at me. Four times at the end of the book, Paul says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." For some reason, I've never noticed there'd been a diction. I'm usually on to the next book before I read the end of the book. But grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You know, that grace that streams down from above comes to our spirit and then out into your walk, into your life. Peter. Now, you expect Peter. Well, Peter has an interesting twist on this. Not a twist. An amplification of it. Here's what Peter said. In 1 Peter, he says, "Grace be yours." Still grace to you, but he says this, "in fullest measure." 2 Peter, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Doesn't that make sense with Peter? Because he was speaking to those scattered abroad in a great trial and tribulation. And he was saying, God's grace is to you, but in your trial and your difficulty, as the ones scattered throughout, you know, where they were scattered to, that grace, he wanted to be with you in fullest measure, that it would be multiplied to you. And then at the end, when Paul would talk about grace with you, Peter would say, "The God of all grace will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And he said, "grow in grace." So I encourage you to just write these down and just meditate on them before the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to do things like that. Who knows what the last sentence of the Bible is without looking? I wouldn't have known either. I wouldn't have remembered. What's it have to do with? Grace. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That's the last sentence of the Bible. Through all of Revelation, all the things that he talks about, he ends up with grace. So it seems like grace is the beginning and the end. It's the beginning and the end of our life. It stays with us all the way through. So now we can stop early and eat lunch. But let's continue. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. So I want you to pay attention to he chose us in him. In verse 5, he predestined us to adoption. And then verse 6, he did this to the praise of the glory of his grace. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. Then he predestined us to adoption, and all of this was done by grace. Now, brothers and sisters, I do not want to get into the theology of predestination and election and all of that, but here it plainly says to me that grace reached back before the foundation of the world and chose you and I. Everyone in this room tonight, today, has been chosen from before the foundation of the world. Now, this is large and big, isn't it? Too much for us. But there's a verse in 2 Timothy 1:9. You can turn there if you want. I'll read it to you. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. There's an eternity aspect to grace that God chose us in him for the foundation of the world. And this to me is a wonderful thing. It gives stability to your Christian walk, to your Christian life, to know that our Father chose us in his Son from before the foundation of the world. But then we come that it says in verse 5, we come to adoption as sons. This is by grace. And think about the wonderful privileges we have as adopted ones who have been adopted by grace. We experience one of those privileges of sonship, of being his child today, which is we get to worship together as family. We get to worship our Father together. We've been brought into a family, we've been adopted, and we get to worship together. Wednesday nights, we have access to the throne of grace because we're his children. His name is upon us. What grace is that? We receive the spirit of adoption. We can cry, Abba, Father, which came up in a song today. We as his children can cry out, Abba, Father. We're protected, provided for, disciplined. We're never cast off. We're sealed for redemption. We inherit promises as heirs. We have fellowship with God. It's amazing that we are called children of God. To have, just to be brought into his family is an amazing grace. And I think we lose a lot of the sense of wonderment at that. Paul didn't. In the last part of Ephesians 2, he was just, when he was saying all these things that you have as an adopted son, he just said, this is a wonderful thing. You're brought into God's household. And you list all those wonderful things about being brought in. So praise the Lord. There's amazing grace there. I have written down, it's a love that embraces us. What manner of love is this? What manner of grace is this that we should be called sons of God? And this morning, how the Lord, how the God the Father embraces us and to become his sons. It's like he ran for us and embraced us as his sons. So that's amazing grace. Next, we'll read verses 7 through 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Before we go there, I want to bring in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8, that phrase, the unfathomable riches of Christ. The riches of Christ, riches means abundance. fullness, plentiful, great, great value. So the riches that Christ has are plentiful, abundant. There's probably no words to describe how wealthy it is. Now, when we think of wealth and riches, we compare it. I don't know what you think of, but I would think riches as somebody has a mountain of gold somewhere, you know, and there's a storehouse of treasure that they have. And they have vast wealth. And I want to tell you that the riches of Christ is vast. It's beyond our understanding, because it says the unfathomable riches. Riches so great, not that it can't be known, but that unfathomable means unsearchable. It was as if you wanted to trace to the furthest limit the riches of Christ, and you can't get there. When you think you're there, there's much, much more. The depth of it is deeper than you could ever imagine. And that's what it means, but it's a spiritual wealth that really can't be understood. There's always more to Christ than we know. Ellicott has some very interesting things to say about this. He says, wealth which we can see in part, but can never wholly measure. A wealth we can enjoy, but not exhaust. It's unsearchable as a mine, inexhaustible, whose treasure can never be fully explored. So that is the riches of Christ. And I just looked up some phrases about the riches of Christ, and I'll just read, there's seven of them. There's probably more, some that I missed. But the riches of his kindness, that he was mentioned in Romans, the riches of his tolerance, the riches of his patience, the riches of his glory, the riches of wisdom, the riches of knowledge of God, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, riches in glory, riches of Christ in you, riches of his grace, and riches of his mercy, which we read this morning. Someone read in prayer. Christ, our Lord, is rich. He's rich. So take that thought and then go back to verse 7. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. This lavish word means to be abundantly furnished with, to be affluent, to furnish one richly so that he has abundance, to confer a thing abundantly, and to exceed a fixed measure over and above what is expected. So we have the riches of Christ, the riches of his grace, and as my mind, a big heap of heavenly treasure, heavenly wealth. And according to that heavenly wealth of Christ, that's riches in Christ, he then lavishes upon you and I. So I picture different coins of grace falling down upon the saints. But you as all that riches that he has in heaven through our Lord Jesus is being lavished down upon us. Grace is being lavished upon us. And I find that to be exceedingly wonderful. It's a grace that is extravagant toward us. When you go out and eat, are you an extravagant tipper? Or are you cheap? I'm not going to look around, but I like to try to be extravagant, not too much, but you know what you're supposed to be. But I realize I'm really not extravagant. I'm not lavish. Now, if I gave someone $1 million for a hamburger, that would be extremely lavish. I might be a little stingy sometimes, but you know what? Our God is not stingy. His grace is not apportioned out a tiny bit at a time. His grace overflows. His grace is super abundant to you and I. What a wonderful thing that our God is that way. You have the great sense here to me that our Father delights in pouring out the grace of the Lord Jesus upon us? Is his desire and his great delight to pour out grace upon us? Now, well, I was going to say he doesn't have to be that way, but he is that way. He is extravagant. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the awesome character of God. The Lord's table is grace being lavished out upon us. Every Sunday morning, we see another coin of grace, as it were, and another coin of grace the next Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, actually day by day. The wealth of his grace, the riches of his grace, is being lavished upon you. And it's continual, and it never stops, and it's always with you. The riches of Christ are not held in reserve to be doled out just a little bit at a time. He delights to bless us in his beloved Son. Isn't that a wonderful? That's wonderful to me. Turn to chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Come to that last verse, verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might demonstrate or show the surpassing riches of his grace. Now there it is again, the riches of his grace. In kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Before you were born, before the world was created, his grace was upon you. You didn't know it, you weren't born yet. And then we find out here, and that was before sin, by the way, his grace is upon you. And then after sin is done away with, the Father is going to be showing the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. How gracious the Lord was in John chapter 14 when he said the disciples were troubled. And he said, no, don't fear. I'm in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then there we know, there we're going to be seeing the wonderful riches of God's grace, the graces of our Lord Jesus, over more and more and more. We will begin to search the unsearchable, to know some of the exceeding greatness of the riches of his grace to come. So grace extended eternity past, it extends to the eternity future. So not only is grace continuous in our short lifespan, but it reached all the way back and it goes eternity forward. Grace, amazing grace. We have time to read it. This is my conclusion now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We have time, so we'll just start with verse 1 and read through verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. Boasting is not necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, I know that how such a man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except in regard to my weakness. For I do not wish to boast. I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. So Paul went up to the third heaven where no man, not supposed to go. But the Lord brought him up there and he saw things that were amazing. Then the scriptures go on to say, because of this surpassing great of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. So the Apostle Paul, a spirit-filled man, was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from exalting in this revelation that he had, which he couldn't share. But to keep him humble before God so that he wouldn't exalt himself, God gave him this messenger. Now concerning this, Paul says, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. So his prayer request is, Lord, I'm reading between the lines, I'm humble now. I don't need this messenger of the flesh. I've learned my lesson. I'm guessing. But the Lord said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of God may dwell in me. Do you know God's grace is sufficient for you? And this is Paul in this instance, but in our life, God's grace is always sufficient. There's a sufficiency of the grace of God that we continually walk in. I believe it was Mac. I don't know who was sharing out of Jeremiah chapter 31. Did you share 31:3? Did that come up in your ministry? And as Mac was sharing on that, a line popped out in the verse above it. And I was just shocked because I'd never seen this phrase. It says, they found grace in the wilderness. Found grace in the wilderness. And as I was meditating on the sufficiency of grace and these wonder of grace, I was thinking about those who, and I've been through these times in my life, that there's still waters. That brook is dried up. The pastures that are supposed to be green are barren. The sky that's supposed to have a cool breeze, I'm talking spiritually, is brass. The weather is so hot you feel torn down, beaten down by heat and exhaustion. You're in the wilderness and you don't know why. And I know many times in my life, the passing of parents, especially in our lives, it felt like a wilderness. But grace is found in the wilderness. That's amazing. God's grace that streams down upon us is found in the desert place, in the dry place, in the barren place. And that grace, which you experienced in that time, I don't want to say you treasure more than all the others, because all of God's grace is to be treasured, but it means so much more when you see the grace of God in the wilderness. No matter where our steps go in this life, God's grace is always toward us. And that grace he lavishly, super abundantly gives to us. Isn't grace wonderful? Grace is amazing. We can't live without it. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you. I think of that verse that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessing, with every spiritual blessing, all the riches of Christ. Father, you have blessed us in him. We just praise you. Lord, I pray that we would know day by day your continuing grace upon us. Lord, may we be encouraged. Lord, we heard many wonderful things at the conference. And Lord, everything that you want to do, there's sufficient grace for that to be done in our assembly. Lord, I pray that every time we gather as your children, Lord, we would know your grace, your mighty grace upon us. Lord, that we might enter into the wonderful privileges of being your son, those who have been saved by grace and brought in to adoption by sons, as sons. Lord, what a wonderful thing. Lord, fill us with your grace. May we know it day by day. May our hearts sing as we walk along, Lord, even in trouble and trial. May we know the grace of God that passes understanding. In your name I pray. Amen.